Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journal. This is episode 243. Today we have Deborah Wanga, award-winning actor, singer, author, and a certified well coach. She draws wisdom from decades of working as a talent manager, a lifestyle coach to give actors and create a holistic approach to their profession that marries mind, body, spirit, and craft. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I know the clan is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a bit about your background, about how you started in business?
Starting back at the beginning, I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and I always wanted to be an actor. So as a kid, I was involved in a lot of theater and performance, and I went and I did that as a young adult. And then I crashed and burned and was very unhappy and very unhealthy and depressed. And it wasn't working for me. And I did everything wrong. And that led me to a journey of trying other professions. I worked on the other side of, I went to LA, worked in Hollywood, worked in the movie business on the other side of things. And I went through a whole health journey to try to get myself healthy and happy and dig myself out of this hole that I had dug myself into, and ended up going back to acting because I missed it. And then when I had a more healthy footing and was more grounded, when I came back to it, I realized there were a lot of people who, as actors or working in creative professions, who had no idea how to marry that with a healthy lifestyle. And then I felt like I got certified as a coach, and I started to write books and coach people on how to be in a not very healthy profession, but stay healthy doing so. And that led to coaching, public speaking, books, and, you know, here I am now. So, and podcasting. So, I brought my experience of doing it all wrong and trying to help people, shortcut to learn how to be happy and healthy in a challenging profession.
What a journey, Deborah.
Yeah, it was a journey. And that was the quick version. I left a lot of the really gory details out.
But why do you do what you do?
I know acting and performing and art brings so much richness and creativity and wonderfulness to the world. But it is very difficult to stay healthy. There's a lot of unpredictability. There's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of, you know, up and down. It's very easy to be either on top of the world or totally unemployed. It's very, you know, the long hours and, you know, kind of almost emotional abuse with traditionally how a lot of creatives are treated. So I really wanted to bring that to people, to allow artists to have their art, to create, to do work they love without just getting totally burnt out doing it.
Yes, when you say performing and all the creative, you always see people that they are saying they have to lose this much amount of in the short time because they have to play this role. How did you manage that?
How did I manage?
Yes.
It's really, some of it is about the stuff that your grandma told you, you know, get enough sleep, get some exercise, go for a walk, you know, relax, don't work so hard all the time. You know, rest and recovery, drink a lot of water, you know, some of those basic things. And then some of it's a little bit more high tech and a little more complicated biohacking tricks and things that you can do to support your health. A lot of it is really that I need to take care of myself first and come from a place of really stringent self-care and basically treating actors as athletes. We're creative athletes in the same way that an athlete is not going to go out partying every night and they're not going to stay up all night and they're not going to just eat Twinkies. An actor has to have that same set of resources, that same grounding and physical stamina and resiliency. That's why I named my book The Resilient Actor. You really have to take care of yourself because, you know, being on a movie set all day long, being on a television show, being, you know, going to perform live 8 shows a week, that's a tremendous amount of physical and emotional stamina. So it really, I really encourage people to take care of themselves and come from a place of health, both physically and mentally.
But if somebody, they are offered the, well, let's say 1 million per movie, and they ask them, we need you at this certain size, how do they keep the balance?
Yeah. Well, usually they give you, you know, there's a lot of trainers and things like that. But yeah, there's sometimes you're asked to do stuff that's not so healthy, and it's, you do your the best you can. And maybe during a certain period of time during that shoot or preparing for that shoot, you're called upon to do things that aren't as healthy. Then you catch up as much as you can before and after, and do your best. But I don't think those are happen that often, where people are really asking you to, you know, gain 200 pounds for a part or lose 200 pounds. It does happen. And also they're making millions of dollars, which, you know, they can cry themselves all the way to the bank on that one too.
Oh dear. How did you manage to balance your career and the family lifestyle?
That's been a challenge. And I'm primarily a theater performer. And that's one of the things that I've done, is that being available for film and television, there's a lot of travel. There's a lot of last minute timing. You know, you have to be available to just jump on an airplane whenever. So one of the things I did was, by staying in one city and making a commitment to not traveling in this part of my life so I can be available for my children, I don't do as much theater as I might if I didn't have kids who I was taking care of. And by transitioning to more of the coaching and online has allowed me more flexibility. So if I can talk to a client from my home office for an hour instead of having to travel or, you know, rehearse, or, you know, I don't need a babysitter. You know, especially now I can just have them, you know, log them on for online school and go downstairs and coach a client. That's helped a lot with balance. But balance is not always straight down the middle. Balance can sometimes be a little bit too much and then a little bit too much on the other side. It's, you know, if you think about driving, you're always making little adjustments to the steering wheel. You know, sometimes I will have to work a little more than I'd like, and then I'll try to take a break and have a little bit more time with my kids and put some deposits in their emotional bank account. So it's that kind of balance.
Let's put man aside. How did you know you are successful in your new business?
Of course, there's financial success, which is lovely. But I think that what's even more than that is thank you letters and thank you emails and people telling me, you know, I just got finished doing a show and I was so much happier, or I got such a better response, or just, I read your book, it really resonated with me. Thank you. No one's ever written a book exactly like this. And so it really spoke to me. So thank you for doing that. So the gratitude for clients, or when a client, you know, loses a bunch of weight, or they're just so much less stressed, they feel more grounded, that kind of thing is probably the biggest payoff for me. And when I'm happy clients.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
Oh, I think there's definitely some people who really enjoy being told what to do. You know, not everybody wants to be in charge, and not everybody wants to run the show. And I think the world is meant to have different types of people. If everybody wanted to do one job, we'd be screwed, right? We need that variety, just in the same way we need some people who want to stay up late and some people who want to get up early. And that's what makes the world go around, is having different types. So I think there is definitely a certain type that gravitates and succeeds more as an entrepreneur. That's because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And you know, it's the difference between being an actor and a director is I actually enjoy being an actor and being able to go and not have to make all the decisions. And sometimes just being told, stand there and say this word and sing this note or kick this high, and not have to run the show, because I run the show in my family and I run the show in my online business. So it is kind of nice to not always have to be in charge. So I don't think that everyone needs to be an entrepreneur. You do it because you love it.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
I don't know if it's the sexiest thing to say, but I think that everyone benefits from periods of work and periods of recovery, that you can't operate with your foot on the gas at all times, that they're an athlete, an actor, an entrepreneur, anybody, There's a time to push and a time to pull back and rest and sleep and regroup and think and recharge. And I think sometimes we just go, 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 go. And we don't take time to sleep or rest or, you know, as Stephen Covey used to say, sharpen the saw and prepare so we can be renewed. And then we can really bring more to it when we do have that next period of deep work.
Do you have mentors and coaches in your own businesses?
I owe a lot to Dave Asprey. He's the Bulletproof executive, the famous biohacker. He basically brought biohacking and putting butter in your coffee into the commonplace. I mentored with him. I was one of the first people he mentored as a coach. So I did his coaching program. I was one of the first 50 people certified by him. So we got to download his brain and his techniques and all his kind of alternative ideas on health. So I owe a lot to him, and a lot of what I coach is based on his teaching and research and all that. And then I've had some mentors along the way. I had one boss in Los Angeles who she was a casting director, and then she was a talent agent. And I worked with her. I was her assistant when she was a TV talent agent. And I learned a lot about balancing work and life. And she was successful in the business, but she was not one of those people who didn't ever take a break. She had a family. She had friends. She had, she wasn't just so crazy about work all the time. And I learned a lot from her. And so I'm really grateful to her as well.
What is the most valuable thing your mentors or coaches has told you?
I would say that maturity is doing what you need to do, whether you feel like it or not. That there was a time when I was young where if I didn't feel like doing something, I might not do it. And I suffered for it. And I think that, you know, it was that whole suck it up, buttercup, that being a grown up means you do what you got to do because it needs to be done. So and if you wait till you feel like doing it, you may never, ever do it. So I think that was probably the biggest thing I learned.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
I think the fact that I don't take myself too seriously and that I try to explain things in a slightly irreverent, hopefully humorous way. And I think a little laughter and a little bit of silliness is very helpful to explain things that are not always that interesting or that silly, but let's have fun doing it. I mean, why the heck not? So I think that's probably is that I can explain things and make them digestible, but also make them a little bit more fun.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
Let's see, is my mother listening? Now I'm trying to think. Well, I play the harp. I don't know if a lot of people know that about me. That's kind of a secret hobby of mine. It's not very juicy. I don't know. I think I'm pretty out there and pretty vulnerable. The first chapter of the book, I really go into detail of some stuff, not very glamorous stuff about myself. So I don't think I have a lot of secrets.
If somebody hasn't read your book, and then they're like, Deborah, who's Deborah? She has worked with all these big actresses. We saw Halle Berry. We saw who. She's been here and there. Are you an approachable person?
I think so. Yeah, I've got a website, and I've signed autographs, and I do book signings, and I answer my emails myself, and I'm just a person trying everybody else. And I think that's part of it, is that I'm not trying to come down from a high horse that I'm perfect and I'm all Photoshopped and don't do anything wrong. I come from a place of I did everything wrong. And that's why I wrote these books. This is everything I learned along the way and everything I wish I had known when I started my business. Not I'm perfect and I've always been perfect, so you should be perfect just like me.
Thank you for sharing. What made you move from being an actress, performer, to be a wellness coach? How did you do that transition?
Well, I doing the coaching certification helped me a lot with that. And I saw a need. I didn't know of anyone else that was doing that. I've never heard anyone until very recently discussing longevity and health as an actor. When you go to an acting school, they teach you about how to write a resume, how to sing a song, how to perform a scene. They might talk to you about auditioning and things like that. Maybe how to get an agent. But I've never heard discussion until I've been talking to educators very recently about how to not go crazy once you're there, how to take care of yourself, how to have career longevity, how to work well with others, things like that, that had never been addressed. And now working with educators and going to conferences and talking with people who are this next wave of theater educators and acting coaches, that there is a need for this and that people are finally starting to include it in their curriculum. And I've really enjoyed working with theater professors and going to colleges and helping young actors learn about how to stay out of the pitfalls. How I made the transition, I just, you know, I got a Zoom account and started talking to people and sharing my experience and, you know, getting the coaching certification helped learn about how to coach and how to coach people through the process, and then writing the books, and then it just kind of happened. So I keep one foot in the acting world and one foot in the coaching world at this point in my life. And I enjoy that because I'm still in the trenches. I still like to think I'm somewhat relevant, and I still enjoy creating and being in front of an audience and being part of that process. But I just put myself out there as a coach and started telling people. And then a lot of word of mouth has been very helpful. You know, there's nothing better than a referral of someone who you worked with who got good results and says, oh, you should work with this person. They helped me a lot.
How is your business doing in this pandemic?
It's horrible right now. It's really horrible. All theaters, at least in the States, are completely closed, and Hollywood was completely shut down. It's starting to come back a little bit, but the industry was completely shut down, like 100%. It probably won't come back till at least 2021. I mean, Broadway's dark, everything. So I'm not performing. And aside from a teeny bit of online content, there's really very little going on. And my clientele are not working. And so they are, I'm selling some books. I'm talking to a few clients here and there, but I'm not public speaking. There's no public speaking right now. And there's no acting right now. So I am seeing my dear community just devastated. And unfortunately, there's a lot of shows and theaters and arts organizations that just won't be able to survive. So we don't know exactly what it's going to be. The one thing is nice is I'm able to spend more time with my family. I've got three children distance learning, so I'm able to do more you know, math homework and helping my kids log back on when the internet kicks them off and things like that. So I'm spending more time with family, and I'm taking more time to work on myself personally and doing a little bit of writing, doing a little bit of coaching, but I'm using it as a cocoon, and I'm getting the clutter out of my house, and I'm doing some podcast work, and I'm, you know, just kind of, I'm storing nuts for the winter right now, like a squirrel.
Wow. Okay, thank you. What is one thing our listeners can do right now to start controlling their stress?
Oh, that's such a huge piece of it. I would say take one deep, slow breath through your nose. And that's anybody can do that, and it's totally free. But breathe slowly, like four or five counts in through your nose, hold it for a moment, and slowly exhale through your mouth. Do that 4 or 5 times and do that a few times a day. And that, by breathing through your nose, you are telling your nervous system, it's okay. No one is chasing us. The house is not on fire. You're taking back control of your nervous system, and you can do an amazing amount of calming yourself down just from that one simple, totally free thing.
But others are like, thank you for telling us for breathing, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be working again. I don't know. Everything is on me.
Right. Oh, no, it's a really scary time. Yes. And I mean, breathing does sound kind of petty if you're like, yeah, but I need to get food on the table. Mm-hmm. I would say if you can, this is a good time to create, to prepare, to get yourself ready, to write a bunch of articles, start working on that book, if you can, because some people are not in that place. Some people are not in a creative place. If you can be getting ready for when the work does come again, you know, rewriting your resume, doing, you know, creating content, whatever that is that to work on your business, if that's possible. Now, a lot of people, and I was in this place for a while, and I know a lot of people have had that, if you don't feel safe, if you don't feel like you're okay, then it's really hard to create. It's, you know, you see these people who are doing all these great projects, but they're in a different emotional place. If you are not at a place where you feel like you can create now, okay, then you need to work on your safety, on your feeling, you know, working on your nervous system, whether it's meditation, gentle exercise, reaching out to people, if it's a 12-step program, whatever, you know, church, whatever it is that helps you feel better, be connected. In the hierarchy of needs, creativity is not a survival skill. You know, we can only get creative when we have the other needs met. So at this point, if you're not at a place, you feel like, I want to write, I want to, you know, make the great American novel, or I want to alphabetize my spice drawer and make sourdough bread and do all these great things, but I just can't right now. Okay. Meet yourself where you are and work on feeling stable, feeling grounded, feeling connected. You know, lean on other people right now. Do what you can to get to that sense of safety, so then you can get back to being creative.
What is the most valuable thing you have ever given away?
I guess my heart.
Let's talk about your book, How to Kick Ass in Business Without It Kicking Your Ass. Tell us more about it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I mean, irreverence. I don't want to take, I'm not, you, I hopefully you can hear from the title, I'm not taking myself too seriously. This is the book that I wish that I had when I started out. This is basically everything that I learned that if I had a fairy godmother, I wish that they would, you know, send it back to the younger me. So it starts with my story and how I did everything wrong. And then, what I wish I had learned about taking care of myself. So it covers, you know, food, nutrition, sleep, stress management, supplementation. There's a lot of mindset. This book is specifically things about acting and rejection and auditioning and dealing with that stuff. But there a lot of it, if you just cross out the word actor and you write entrepreneur, it's still completely relevant. Because entrepreneurs are constantly auditioning, basically. It's all you. It's all hustle. It's self-generated. You don't just rely on your boss to give you leads. You're doing the hustle. So in the same way, an actor is an entrepreneur. An actor is, they need to constantly be looking for work. They need to be constantly presenting themselves, preparing, and it's all on them. So it takes a tremendous amount of energy and positive mindset, and you hear no a lot, and you have to play well with others and all that. So it's everything that I wish I had learned when I started out in one book.
Wow. Who came up with the title?
I did. You know, I went through a lot of possibilities, but resiliency implies that, not that you're never going to fall down, or not that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you, but that you have enough reserves and stability and health that when bad stuff does happen to you, that you can get back up again and recover and get back on the horse pretty quickly. So the cover is me with boxing gloves around my neck. I like the metaphor of the boxer who, you're going to get punched, but if the more stable and rested and healthy you are, and the stronger you are coming into the ring, you can take a lot more punches before you get knocked out.
How do you teach people to deal with rejection? Because rejection is inevitable. Even if you're going to look for work and you go an interview job, then you hear, no, sorry, we can't take you, sorry, and you go like on 10. How can we manage rejection?
Right. Well, for one thing, the more you go, the more you put yourself out there, it kind of diffuses it. So if you just go up for one client or one job and hear no, it's really hard. That, you know, that's 100% rejection rate, right? But if you go out for 100 and 20 of them are no's, it doesn't hurt as much because it's spread out more. So the frequency of asking helps you to be rejection proof. If you go to a lot of auditions, if you go to a lot of interviews, if you ask a lot of people out for dates, you know, it doesn't hurt as much, right? If you hear no, or there'll be a few of them that hurt more because, oh, I really wanted that one, and that's okay. And then you take a day or an hour or, you know, and feel lousy about it. You're allowed to feel disappointed when that one big fish that you didn't get didn't come through, but then move on and just get right back on the horse, go back to the hustling. So it gets easier the more you do it, and you don't have to be happy all the time. If you can be disappointed when sometimes things don't work out, and you can indulge in that, just don't go so dark for so long that you never come back. Just feel it, feel lousy about it, complain about it, punch a pillow, do whatever you got to do, and then get back on.
Where can we find this book, and how can we connect with you?
You can look at my website, which is deborahwanger.com. And so everything about me is right there. It's also on Amazon. I also have a copy of it on Audible. So my website, deborahwanger.com, is the best place to learn all about me. And like I said, I'm on Audible. So if you want to hear me read the book, I'd be happy to do that for you.
Wow. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for sharing. So, Clan, there will be more from Deborah in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many platform podcasting rather than my website and you are encouraged by Deborah's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a portion bonus of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Deborah's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Deborah.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience, and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.